Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 will be our focus on Scripture tonight. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9 and then verses 18 through 23. We've been considering together in our evening worship services the kingdom of God as it's revealed to us in the pages of Scripture, and we're doing that, you'll remember, because we're actually going through the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 19, but we're simply sitting in Acts chapter 19 with the Apostle Paul as he teaches in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, where it says to us in Acts 19 that he was preaching, persuading, convincing them regarding the kingdom of God. And so we've been spending some time with Paul thinking about the kingdom through various passages of Scripture. And so tonight, Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, and then verses 18 through 23. This is the word of the Lord. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." In verses 10 through 17, the disciples engage in a conversation with Jesus about the reason for parables. And then we come back to the story in verse 18, where Jesus says this, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the word of God. Let's pray for his blessing. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that, again, we have this peace of heart and mind to be able to come and gather in the peace of our nation and to be able to hear you speak to us about what matters most, what matters eternally and forever. And so we're thankful for the Scripture. We're thankful for the work of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that this word that we've read together that will be preached, Lord, that what would be said would be faithful to your word. But Lord, also that for all of us, by your Spirit, we would be enabled to hear what you have to say to us tonight. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, a story appeared in the Reader's Digest of a father who was quite frustrated with his attempt to be involved with his son's soccer team. He wanted to be more involved in his son's life and wanted to be involved with the soccer team. And this is what he wrote in the Reader's Digest. "For the second week in a row, my son and I were the only ones who showed up for his soccer team's practice. Frustrated, I told him, 'Please tell your coach that we keep coming for practice, but no one is ever here. My son rolled his eyes and said, he'll just tell me the same thing he did before, which was that practice is now on Wednesdays, not Tuesdays. He had heard that, the son, but he didn't really hear, did he? And who knows how long that father and son would have kept showing up to that practice, which was on the wrong day, unless the message had sunk in. He had heard it, but he didn't really hear it, and he certainly didn't act on it. Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower who went out to sow his seed. Later in the passage, Jesus wonderfully tells us that he tells the disciples and us that that seed is, verse 19, is the word of the kingdom. And as we have been studying together the kingdom of God in the scripture, this is of great importance to us, that as we read about this parable of the sower, that what is sown is the word of the kingdom. And this passage is all about, it's not really about the preaching of the kingdom or the teaching of the kingdom, but it's really a passage about the hearing and receiving and the bearing fruit of the word of the kingdom. It's not about how you share the truth about Jesus and the kingdom of God, but it's first and foremost a message about how to hear it ourselves, and how to hear and receive the word of the kingdom. So we've been thinking about the kingdom together. Hopefully you remember a little bit about what we've been talking about. We've seen in the scripture that the kingdom of God is to be our priority and of first importance in our lives, as we heard, to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And so God takes care of everything in our earthly lives so that we don't have to worry about it. But instead, our heart's desire and our preoccupation needs to be with his kingdom and his rule and his reign, so that we can give ourselves to it, and he'll add everything else we need in our lives. We've seen in the book of Daniel that the kingdom of God was anticipated in the Old Testament as a kingdom that would come with the coming of Christ. He is that rock or that stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands. And doesn't matter if there's been a Roman kingdom, Greek kingdom, Persian kingdom. When Jesus Christ comes, he comes and will come to establish a kingdom that will last forever. It was greatly anticipated. Then we saw in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus himself calls us to pray for the coming of the kingdom. That is to pray, remember how the prayer goes on, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray for the kingdom to come, Jesus is calling us to pray that more and more in our earthly lives, we would live and act in such a way as we would and as is done in heaven. And to pray that that would become more and more a reality. And then last time we saw that when the kingdom of God comes to town in the person of Jesus, at least two amazing things happen. The word of the king comes with power and authority, and people receive the word of the king as an authoritative word, and their lives are changed. They are set free from bondage to sin and slavery to sin and the consequences of sin, its guilt and its power. Which leads us to consider over these next few weeks in Matthew chapter 13, some of the parables of the kingdom of God. And there's no better place for us to start than with the parable of the sower sowing seed. It's a parable about hearing the word of the kingdom and yet not hearing. It's a parable about seeing and yet not seeing. It's about those who have thought they have heard, but have not heard. And so it's all about how to receive that authoritative and powerful word of the kingdom so that we might bear much fruit, that the kingdom might come in our own lives. Well, the Matthew 13 has a number of parables in it, and as we think about parables, you will recall that Jesus often taught in parables. And what's a parable? Well, parable is a story or a phrase or a saying that Jesus would use, where he would use everyday earthly things that the folks were familiar with in order to teach an eternal truth, a spiritual truth. And here in Matthew 13, a truth about the kingdom of God. But he used something just that is familiar to us. And so he's going to speak about seed being sown and tares and wheat and trees and treasure and pearls and nets here in this passage. Now, the wonderful thing for us tonight is that as we look at this first parable, when Jesus would tell a parable, he wouldn't always take the time to explain to the disciples everything he meant. You may know that, right? But in this parable, we have the wonderful privilege to hear from Jesus himself exactly what he means about every verse, really, that he gives in this parable of the sower. So let's start here. The parable begins, "Behold, the sower went out to sow his seed." Went out to sow. "And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." And so the sower is sowing seeds. And then in verse 18, we hear this. "Hear then," says Jesus, "the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom." So first of all, the first thing we learn about this passage is that when Jesus is talking about a sower going out to sow and sowing some seeds that fall in different places, what he is talking about, the seed here that falls or that is broadcast or that is scattered, is a word, it's a message about the kingdom. It's a message about the kingdom of God. And so he's telling a parable about the hearing of the word of God, but Jesus summarizes the word that is thrown out and the word that is cast and the word that takes root in some people's lives as summarized as the word of the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. That is, it's all about the king and his rule and his reign. That's what is being sown, a message about a king, about a kingdom, and about citizens in that kingdom. Now, Jesus uses, of course, this wonderful agricultural illustration here. It's used elsewhere in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, of course, you may know, speaks about this, the same scattering of seed. Remember when he said, "I planted and Apollos watered, but God caused the growth." And the Apostle Peter will use the same kind of image in 1 Peter 1. He says this, "For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God." And so Peter uses that too, that we're born again actually through the seed of the word of God. And here Jesus says it's the word of the kingdom of God. Now that's important because think about this. Jesus could have summarized this parable in many other ways. He could have said to the disciples, "When anyone hears the word of forgiveness," or he could have said, "When anyone hears the word of love," or "When anyone hears the word of peace." And those are all things that are part and parcel of embracing Christ, forgiveness and love and peace. He could have said the word of justification. He could have said the word of sanctification. He could have used any kind of big theological term to describe, you know, the heart of the matter when it comes to the seed of the word of God that actually is scattered out and is meant to find a place in our hearts. But he calls it the word of the kingdom. And why does he do that? Well, in other words, Jesus is saying that the word that we're all about is all about King Jesus. The message we bring, in its essence, is all about proclaiming the King who has come. And that's important because when you think about the kingdom of God, why, you might ask, why would Paul spend years in Ephesus speaking about the kingdom? Why would he spend years at the end of the book of Acts teaching the Romans about the kingdom? Why did Jesus spend 40 days at the beginning of Acts preaching to his disciples about the kingdom of God? And that is because the kingdom of God is not just a part of the Bible. The kingdom of God is not just one aspect of the teaching of the Bible and of the Scripture, but the kingdom of God is at the heart of what the message is all about, that the King has come in Jesus Christ, and all men and women and children are called to receive and to submit to this King, you see, and to seek Him, seek His forgiveness, seek His peace, live under His authority. And that's important for us to see. And so the seed is the word of the kingdom. That's what we're spreading here in Redlands. The word of the kingdom. A kingdom that's come in Jesus and calls for us to be a part of that kingdom. And there are four responses, of course, as you know, to this sowing of the seed, corresponding to four different landing places, soils. But what we want to notice especially is that for Jesus, when he interprets every one of these responses to the seed, he characterizes it as a different way of hearing, a different way of hearing the word of the kingdom. This passage is all about how you hear the word of God, how you listen to the word of God, and whether or not when you listen and hear the word of God, it's actually penetrating into your life. It's all about hearing. So, for instance, when Luke tells this parable over in Luke 8, I think it is, at the end of Luke's telling, Jesus concludes by saying, he doesn't say, so take care how you spread the seed. He says, so take care how you listen, how you hear. And in fact, this is what we read in verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, there are four pairs of ears, then, in this parable, because the question is not really how do we spread the seed, but the question in this parable is, what kind of ears do I have to receive this word of the kingdom? So there's four pairs of ears. You will have noticed that three of them do not really hear the word of the kingdom, but all four really kind of hear the word of the kingdom, at least superficially. But the kind of the amazing thing here to think about as we come into this parable is that all four places where the seed falls are all receiving the same seed. Did you notice that about this parable? That whether the seed falls on the hard path, whether it falls in the rocky places, whether it falls where it will be choked out by the thorns, or whether it falls in good soil. Did you notice that the Bible says that regardless of where it falls or what ear it falls upon, it is the same seed. It is the same seed of the word of the kingdom that is sown. Now that's important too, because sometimes people will say, for instance, that the day of preaching the word of the kingdom, or the day of preaching the word, or the day of proclaiming God's word for the salvation of man, the day of preaching as the means to that end, just scattering the seed of the word of God, that day, some folks say, is ended. That doesn't work anymore. Some folks say, maybe you're aware, some folks say, well, hey, in the 16th century, during the Reformation, 17th century, the Second Reformation, people didn't have radios, they didn't have smartphones, they didn't have TVs, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have, cars, they didn't have a life, someone might say, right? So they had time to go to Calvin's Geneva, and they had time to sit and, well, stand in his case, and to listen to an hour sermon. The Puritans of the 17th century, they didn't have a life, and so they had time to listen to sermon days where three or four or five preachers would get up and preach the Word of God. And that worked in that century simply because they didn't have anything else to do. So today, though, I mean, we've got so much other things to do. To gather the seed, to preach the word, is no longer the way that we can possibly reach people for the kingdom. So instead of sowing seed, we need to sow raffle tickets. Or instead of sowing seed, let's sow bingo cards, or let's sow turkey dinners into people's lives and hope that somehow that will be effective to reaching our neighborhood. And the thing is that when you look at the parable of the sower, the problem of the different responses is not a problem with the seed. It's not a problem with the seed. Did you notice that? So as Jesus tells his parables to his disciples, let's say you're a disciple, you might respond to Jesus, now wait a minute, that one doesn't, that one doesn't, that one doesn't. They'd say, wait a minute, that sounds like 25%. Right? Now, I don't think Jesus is meaning to give us a percentage here. But at least for the disciples, they're thinking, wait a minute, for the most part, the seed doesn't grow. But they don't respond that way. Jesus explains the parable, but the seed doesn't change. And they don't suggest to Jesus, well, hey, maybe we need to try a different kind of seed. And it's not the sowing that's the problem. It's not that, instead of sowing seed, the disciples say, well, if that's the case, why don't we rocket launch seed? Or why don't we sit on seed? Because this sowing doesn't seem to be working in 75% of the cases. No, they don't know. The seed is the same. And it's sown. It's scattered. And that doesn't change. Why? Well, because, of course, the word of the kingdom, whether it's the 16th, 17th, or 21st century, does not change. The message of the gospel, the call, friends, to submit our life to the authority and power of King Jesus, who's come, remember, to set us free from sin and bondage, who comes with an authoritative word, that call of the kingdom to submit to the king, who is actually the one who sets us free from sin and bondage, that call never changes. No matter where we go, and no matter what century. So friends, first, that's the first, we got to get this here. There's no sense here that Jesus is saying you need a different kind of seed for the path, for the rocky places, and for the thorns, and for the good soil. There's no sense that Jesus is saying here, you know, the reason the seed doesn't take root and develop and prosper is because you use the wrong seed and you need to change it up. Different seed for old people, you know, different seed for young people. Different seed for men, different seed for women, different seed for black, different seed for white. No. Peter put it this way, all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And Jesus says, it's the word of the kingdom. So we want to think about what kind of ears do you have? Verse 19, we have a picture of the first ear. And if you're a child, like my child, you can draw pictures of different ears, because that's what we're talking about, different ears. The first ear, Jesus interprets in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Beside the road. So for this ear, the word is heard. It's not understood. But the Bible says here in some sense, Jesus says in some sense, it even touches the heart to a certain extent. But Luke says in his telling of this parable, the seed is trampled underfoot. It's beside the road. And it gets trampled and the devil snatches it away. Which is Jesus simply saying there is a kind of hearing of the word of the kingdom when people hear about Jesus, when they hear about King Jesus, who has come as the king of his kingdom, calling all men and women and children to submit to him, to find forgiveness and life and truth in him. There's a kind of hearing that barely gets started. Barely gets started. And the word is gone before you get out the door. This is a hard heart. It's a hard heart. The truth doesn't penetrate at all. This is the kind of hearing that happens when you attend worship, listen to a sermon, you get in the car to go home, a friend calls you on the phone, maybe a family member, says, oh, you were at worship this morning, what was the sermon about this morning? And you go, no idea. No, it's not coming to me. Was it about Zacchaeus? No, I don't think so. That was a children's story. But I know he preached on something, but it's gone. And so quickly. It's the experience some of us have, I think, listening to our doctor. You know, when you go to the doctor and you wait forever, it seems, and they're busy people. And you're waiting, and you're sick, and you want to explain what's going on, and so the doctor comes in, you explain to the nurse first. You explain to the nurse, and maybe the doctor looks at a chart, and the doctor comes in, and he sits down, and he starts talking, and you get about 5 minutes, and he talks pretty fast, and then you say, oh, thank you, yeah, thank you, and then he leaves the room, and you sit, and you think, what did he say? I have no idea what he just said. I don't understand. I don't understand the words. And it's gone. And this is the kind of hearing where you're not meditating on what you've heard. You're not chewing on the scripture. You're not rereading that passage of scripture. This is kind of the cotton candy view of scripture. This kind of idea where you kind of close your mouth over it, and it literally dissolves and disappears. I think. That's the first ear. The second ear, in verse 20, it goes like this. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And so here again, as Jesus emphasizes, right, there is a hearing of the word. They think to have the word. There is some spiritual faith, there's joy there, but they have no root to sustain them, Jesus says, in a time of trial. In other words, their faith does not go deep, it's only superficial, and like a tree that's not well planted, as soon as the wind comes, the true tree falls over because there's no roots, it's not dug down deep, it's shallow. And when it actually costs something to be a Christian, they fall away. Probably the best theological writer who's written on this kind of hearing and this kind of ear is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German fellow who wrote The Cost of Discipleship during the time of World War II. Who is this person that hears and falls away in time of trial? Like many professing Christians, for instance, in the German Empire, with the rise of Hitler, how could that happen? How could, when there's so many Christians in that country, how could that have actually happened? And Dietrich Bonhoeffer wanted to think about that. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke of what had happened was a belief in cheap grace. And he said this, "Cheap grace means grace sold on the market like cheap Jack's wares. The sacraments, the forgiveness of sin, and the consolations of religion are thrown away at cut prices. Grace is represented as the church's inexhaustible treasury from which she showers blessings with generous hands without asking questions or fixing limits. Grace without price, grace without cost. The essence of grace, we suppose, is that the account has been paid in advance, and because it's been paid, everything can be had for nothing. Since the cost was infinite, the possibilities of using and spending it are infinite. What would grace be if it were not cheap? Cheap grace, says Bonhoeffer, is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution or forgiveness without personal confession. Cheap grace, he says, is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate." Grace without Jesus Christ. Well, of course, grace without Jesus Christ, you see, is not the grace of the Scripture. Grace without discipleship is not the grace of the Scripture. Grace makes disciples. But this ear has no roots, and this ear falls away. A third kind of hearing. Remember, we're talking about ears that hear the Word of God. Some are hard. We just forget it immediately. Another kind of hearing, we hear it, but we don't meditate on it. It doesn't go down deep. And so the first time of trial, what we've professed to believe, it disappears. And there's a third kind of hearing in verse 22, the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word. And the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So a third ear. There's hearing, They're hearing the word, but when Jesus says the worries and riches and pleasures of life come, they're deceived, and the word is choked in their life, and it fails to bear fruit. So again, they think they have the word. They've heard the word. But Jesus is saying it's as if their other loves and cares and concerns have, and this is the picture that Lord Jesus gives. It's as if their other loves and cares and concerns in their life have like a pair of hands taken a death grip around the Word of God in their life and squeezed it so hard that Word that is present in that life bears no fruit. And it is choked out by other loves, other desires, other concerns, other words, other people speaking. Now imagine if you were to, tonight I'm preaching, and Brother Dale comes up and he gets angry at something I'm preaching, and he chokes me. He would never do that. We're brothers in the Lord, right, brother? But let's say someone from the congregation, right? If you come up If you come up and you choke the pastor who's preaching the word, how is that going to affect the preaching of the word tonight? If I were, you know. Well, I imagine if you squeeze hard enough, I couldn't speak. And you wouldn't hear me. Jesus says there's a kind of hearing of the Word of God, right? Where you have it. You have it. But there is so many other cares and concerns. He talks here about wealth. There's so many other things going on in your life, so many other desires that they just surround the Word of God and just strangle it. So in your life, it's as if the Word cannot speak. Like the rich young ruler, right, who came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, I've kept all the commandments. He lied. But Jesus says, well, you know, if you love me, if you want to follow me, you need to sell all your possessions. And the Bible says that this man who had all this wealth, that was the thing that he couldn't give up. And it says he went away from Jesus sorrowful, with a sad face, a downcast face, and he left Jesus. Now here's a man who, I mean, I think we would probably say, boy, if we have someone at Sovereign Grace Church who's keeping 9 of the 10 commandments, that's pretty good. Come on in. Boy, I mean, we all fail, right, in so many ways. But Jesus says, no, actually, this area here that has captured your life, you see, it was being brought to this man's attention that he didn't really love God. And he wouldn't allow Jesus' word to speak to him. Listen, if you want to follow me, you need to get rid of that. But it strangled the word. And it lay, as it were, a corpse, unattended in his life. Choked it. Just like there are corpses of the Word of God laying in people's homes. It's there, but it doesn't live. And it's not read. And it's not lived. And it's not obeyed, but it's there. I mean, if someone comes in the door and say, oh, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. There's my Bible. But all the while, the living Word of God has been choked because of all our other loves and concerns. Now, of course, with all these ears that we've heard about so far, all three of them, here's the thing, all three of them heard the word. These are not, we're not talking about pagans in Africa who've never seen a missionary. These are not natives in Mongolia who've never heard the gospel. There are those who've heard the word of the kingdom, have been exposed to Christianity, perhaps grown up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, had Christian friends, but have never understood the word, have never had the word take root in their heart, or who have had the word but it's been choked out in their life by all their other desires and pleasures apart from God and it's been crowded out, so it can't be heard. They have ears, but do not hear. They are in our churches. That's what Jesus is saying. I mean, these are folks who hear the word. They're people like you and I who hear the word of the kingdom all the time. But what kind of ears do we have? There is, of course, a fourth ear in verse 23. And Jesus says, there's the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, Jesus says, those who hear that word bring forth an abundance of fruit that far outweighs, that far outshines even what has gone in. You see, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The point is there is an abundance of fruit when that word is heard and received into the heart of one who believes and embraces the word of the kingdom. So what kind of ear? Well, Jesus says this is the ear that hears the word of the kingdom and understands it. You know, that the king has come. His name is Jesus. And he has established, inaugurated a kingdom where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's come to set me free from sin and slavery and bondage, from the guilt and the power of sin. That understands it. You understand how just and merciful God is, that he punishes sin, but he punishes sin in Christ, in our place. So he understands. And you bear, Jesus says, and bring forth fruit much out of proportion to what was planted, and there's a great harvest from such hearing of the word of the kingdom. It goes deep into your mind and heart, it goes deep into your will. The whole person receives the word of the kingdom. It's not just on the outside of the ear, it's not just in the mind, but it sinks down into the heart, the good soil. It sinks down into the heart, is that image the Lord Jesus gives us. And the whole person receives that truth and bears great fruit. So that when time of trial comes, they don't fall away, right? And when other desires and pressures and the wealth of riches comes into their life, the word is not choked out, but those desires and those things are all placed under the sovereign rule of King Jesus. And they're submitted to him. And he has first place as we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And it bears such great fruit when that hearing happens. Now, of course, this is the hearing that we want. Those are the kinds of ears we need. Now, of course, the Bible is telling us here, Jesus is saying then that hearing is a high calling. It is not just that a minister on a Sunday morning or Sunday night has a high calling to preach the word of the kingdom. He does. But all of us, Jesus says, has a high calling to consider how we listen to the word of the kingdom and to who Jesus is and has come to be as the ruler of that kingdom. Here's the thing. In Isaiah 42, the Lord looks at his people, his professing covenant people, and this is what he said to them. He said, "You have seen many things, but you do not observe them. Your ears are open, but none hears." And friends, I think we live in a culture where our ears are open today, but not many are hearing, you know, the word of Christ, that he's king and we're called to submit to him. Our ears are open to our smartphone. And if a message goes off, oh boy, we're jumping on it. Grab me, you know, give me that phone. Where'd it go? Bing! I'm there. Tweet or whatever. We've all got different noises. Our ears are open to Facebook Messenger. At our, you know, psh, I'm there. You know, ears are open, but the Lord says to his people, but none hears. In other words, we're listening to all kinds of different voices and all kinds of different messages. But the Lord is saying to his people there in Isaiah 42 that your ears are open to all sorts of things, but you're not hearing me and my word. It's a message that needs to sink into our ears. There's a point in Jesus' ministry. He's ministering to the sick, and he's casting out demons. He's doing miracles. And there's a point in Luke 9 where he turns to his disciples, and they're in awe over everything that he's done. And do you remember this? He turns to his disciples at some point in his ministry. They're getting all excited about his power. And he turns to them and he says, let this sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed, or something like that. He speaks to them about how he's going to face his death. But it's a wonderful place in the scripture where Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, let this sink into your ears. In other words, don't just cast this aside. Let this find its way into your heart. The truth of who I am and why I've come. To sink deep. You ever get water in your ear? Uh-huh. You get water in your ear? Oh, that's so annoying. Because it's so hard to get it out. Right? Ever get a peanut in your ear? Ever see a child with a peanut in their ear? Oh, I've heard of those kind of stuff. We haven't had that. No. My wife's looking at me like, when did that happen? No, but I've heard of that. And something gets stuck in your ear. Oh, sometimes kids need surgery to get that out or whatever they stick in there when it sinks in. And Jesus said to his disciples, listen, don't just hear about my words. Don't hear my words of the kingdom that's come and my person, forgiveness of sin, my power, my authority, new life for you. Don't just hear that and let it fall to the ground. Let it sink in deep. You see, deep into our hearts. That is what the Lord Jesus calls us to. When we open the Bible, when we listen to a sermon, to hear that word of the kingdom with ears then, right, of faith, ears of trust in him, that we might bear forth great fruit. And you know what? Jesus, of course, knows that we can't do that ourselves, that God has to open our eyes and God has to open our ears, which is why when he talks about the parables, and I'll just close with this, when he talks about the parables, he's talking to his disciples, a few verses before verse 18, he says this to them, you know, you've been given the blessing to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, and then he says this in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. In other words, Jesus is saying you have this amazing privilege. We have this privilege to hear the word of the kingdom. The king has come in Jesus. May that word then sink deep into our hearts that we might live it and bear forth its fruit. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful that you have given us wonderful things to see in the gospel, that we have heard great things, just like the disciples. But Lord, we also know from this passage tonight that it's possible to hear that word of the kingdom and to have it just lay upon a hard path, only to be taken away and forgotten. Lord, we've heard that it can grow among thorns, only to be choked out, Lord, by the cares of this world, the other desires that we have, rather than seeing you as supreme and allowing your word of the kingdom to speak. Lord, we allow other voices to choke it out, and the voice becomes dim. The word of grace, the word of peace, the word of forgiveness, the word of hope. And Lord, we've also heard that that word can find a place for a time, and there may be some temporary joy, but Lord, there's no root, and we've not dug down deep into the glories of the truth of who Jesus is and what he's come to do and what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, when trial comes, we give it up and we let go of that word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would, by your grace, give us the kind of ears to hear, spiritual ears that hear the message of the kingdom who has come, which has come in Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom. That we would rejoice to know that the King has come, that he's come to set us free from sin, that he's come to give us new life, that we would be new creatures through faith in him. And Lord, that we would submit ourselves then to this glorious King and bear fruit for your glory and for our good. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.